your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Hi, welcome everybody.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you happen to be.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
And we'd like to let our listeners know right at the beginning.
Right up front, we finish each other's sentences.
So ready? Here we go. Today's show is about intimacy.
Intimacy, strangely enough, begins with listening. Most of us are preoccupied in our thoughts. You know, it's really difficult to be intimate with someone who's not there, even though their body is, because they're lost thinking about their day, what they didn't do, what they should have done, what they could have done, how life was.
So, let's assume that being lost in your thoughts is not a problem
as
such. It's normal.
That's the starting place for most human beings.
Now, you can train yourself to be intimate by practicing the art of listening throughout your day.
You could start with this program. See, the truth of the matter is, on this program today, your life could transform. Literally, situations that you've been putting up with for years could just melt away and no longer be problematic if you discover how to listen, because listening, that is, hearing what another person's saying from their point of view, will pull you into the moment. And the moment is this magical place that transformation takes place in.
In other words, by simply being here, you can have your life transform. And intimacy is a byproduct of being here and being present. And today's show, listening is the access way into the moment.
Now, here's the thing. Most of us think we listen, or are good listeners. We listen to see what we already know. See, our listening is mostly comparison. We're either comparing what we know to what's being said, we're seeing whether we agree with it, or disagree with it, or already know it. That is, my friends, is not listening. That is comparison. And comparison will keep you lost forever. Listening will pull you into the moment. It will create freedom in your life. So, intimacy begins with listening.
It also begins with yourself. And Shai and I were looking at the ins and outs of intimacy this morning, so to speak. And one of the things that we realized...
You're getting too risque for this show.
It's close. Is it? But it's internet. I think you can get away with it.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at what comes in on our emails...
Okay.
We won't go there. Okay.
No,
so, being kind to yourself. You know, if you're being hard on yourself and then somebody expresses their liking toward you or interest toward you or...
What kind of nut are you to like me? I mean, given... I wouldn't like me. It's the Groucho Marx remark. I wouldn't belong to any club that would have me as a member.
So the more you can be gentle with yourself, kind to yourself, notice your judgments about your body, for instance, without judging yourself for having them, and they will start to lose their power over you.
See, our approach is not at all psychological. It's based in an anthropological approach, and an anthropological approach is about seeing without judging, because an anthropologist, if she or he are good at what they do, looks at a culture and sees how it is that that culture functions without judging the culture that they're observing. If you could do that with your own life, your life would get infinitely easier and less pressureful and difficult.
Let's go back to honesty for a moment. honesty, honesty, about being honest with yourself first and your partner second. I'm going to assume that a lot of the conversation today, when we're talking about intimacy, is about the ability to create intimacy between you and another, but it could be between you and your child. It could be between you and your family members, as well as
your coworkers,
your partner. There's something about honesty. Well, let's look at lie detectors. Lie detectors are a really interesting contraption that can register on your skin minute changes if you are being deceptive or telling the truth. And there's a very large difficulty in being open with your partner when you're hiding something.
Very, very large difficulty in having intimacy if you're hiding something.
You know, I'm going to tell something really silly and embarrassing and from early and shy in my relationship.
Oh, okay. If it's early in our relationship, I've recovered from it.
Okay, good. So I was quite young, age-wise 24, but mental-wise quite young. And Shai and I were dating, and we were physical. For those of you that offends, I'm sorry, but we did have sex before marriage. And
we had sex before everything.
And one of the things that happened was there came to be a place where Shai would touch me. I mean, like, he could touch my arm. We were together, and I wasn't feeling a lot. And he said to me, "Are you okay? What's happening?" And I realized that I had this idea, very silly idea, but the idea was between me and him. At that time, Shai drove a motorcycle, and I had this really funny idea that I was basically using him for his motorcycle, that I was, you know, a shallow person, and I was more interested in being able to ride around on his motorcycle than I was in him. And I was hiding this thought from him. So I said, "Okay, I have this really awful thought." To me, that was very awful. And I shared it with him, and he laughed. And he said to me, "Well, I don't see you being here, being intimate with my motorcycle. You're actually with me." At which point, I laughed, and it popped. And I was able to start feeling again. There's two components to that. One is I was judging whatever thought that I had. Two, I was able to be honest about it. And three, did I say more than one, two components? Anyway, three, Shia did not judge me for having had that thought. And his ability to just hear it and not take it seriously allowed it to disappear. So those are the three principles of transformation right there. What you resist.
This is the first principle. What you resist persists, grows stronger, and dominates your life.
So what's between you and your partner, what you're resisting, the thoughts you're resisting, grows, it persists, and it
dominates your thoughts. So when you're with your partner or whoever, you're not being with them, you're being with not wanting to have the thoughts you're having.
And second principle, no two things can occupy the same space at the same time.
Means that in any given moment of now, you can only be as you are, feeling-wise, body sensation-wise, thought-wise, posture, you can only be in the circumstances and have the emotional events happening in your life that you do in each moment of now.
And that includes that I was using energy to hide that from myself because I didn't approve of that thought, therefore I was hiding it from Shia, and all energy ran away from my skin, for instance, and I couldn't feel anything. So you can only be consumed with one thing or another. Third principle, anything you allow to be exactly as it is without judging it completes itself.
Now, what Ariel said was without judging it. If you can see something without judging it, it completes itself. In an instant, outside of time, it no longer plagues your life.
So those are the three basics. You know, the other thing is incompletions. That's something that was thought was incomplete for me, but it also could be that when you get together with your partner or with your child, you want to actually be with them, but suddenly what appears in your mind's eye are the dishes to be done or the bill you forgot to pay or the person you argued with or had a disagreement with at work or something that happened about your day. And again, we're going back to the idea that this is very normal. And somehow I think that intimacy is a great cleaning house tool, like a mental cleaning house tool. I'm not talking about the state of your house, whether or not it's clean or not, although I have to admit, when things are complete around you in your physical environment, it's easier to be intimate with yourself or with another because you're not distracted. But when you're fully being with another human being, what comes up are the incompletions. And if you can just let them go and be with your partner, you're actually going to recharge your battery so that you can go and more effectively handle those incompletions that have been plaguing you for a while.
You know, there's something that I think we need to talk about with regard to intimacy, and that is when you're locked in a disagreement with your partner.
Right.
And most people's relationships are based in agree and disagree, mostly disagreement. Mostly people bicker and fight or withhold little communications or find fault with their partner the same way they find fault with themselves. And we've discovered that there's only two possibilities in life. You can be alive, fully alive, and I'm talking about the experience of love and health and happiness and full self-expression and intimacy and relationship, or you can be right. And when you're being right about your point of view, it kills off those alive expressions and experiences. It kills off the experience of love and health and happiness. It makes it so that you're constantly finding fault with your partner rather than allowing yourself to be pleasured by them and pleasure them.
Wow. That was very good.
Well, thank you. Sometimes I have those moments of illumination.
I love this subject of intimacy because it's so prickly for most people.
I know you do. Not because it's so prickly for most people, because you love intimacy.
I do. Last night was our night off, and we
got a night off every once in a while.
Yeah, we worked over the weekend, did a course, intuition, creativity, and intuition course, and then we had clients and did a Monday evening group in New York City, and then we had an international call yesterday. So it was really our time for a night off, and it was really beautiful to be able to let go of everything, let go of all obligations and all concerns. So we'll talk more about intimacy when we get back from this break, and we can look at how to support it happening in your life.
So please do come back after the break.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Improve your spiritual well-being and experience a new way of looking at spirituality and wellness. Tune into Spiritual Evolution with spiritual counselor, healer, and animal communicator, Kelly Marie. Each week, Kelly and her guests explore spiritual problem solving and connecting balance between the body and spirit. Spiritual Evolution with Kelly Marie, broadcast every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spiritual Evolution, expanding the boundaries and broadening the vision of spirituality through inspiration and education.
Awakened media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia, and the name of the game is Being Here. And today we're talking about intimacy.
Intimacy is the ability to be with another or yourself. And most of us are usually filling the space with doing something to bleed off the intensity of simply being with another. We have a caller on the line. We hear Jay.
Yes, hi. My name is Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jay.
Hi. So I have a question that, and this is something that comes up between my girlfriend and myself every now and then, and that is she would prefer or wish that I was a little more tactile with her and show a little more affection by, you know, touching her or putting my arm around her at different times. And that just doesn't come natural to me. And we've had this talk a few different times, and I've tried to remind myself, and occasionally I do remember, and everything goes down well, and we both enjoy those moments. But how might I remind myself of this a little more frequently?
Well, first of all, I, Jay, believe that she would like you to touch her not a little more, but a lot more.
Uh-huh.
So, you say a little, I say a lot.
Maybe
motto, I don't know. You're going to say something?
It occurs to me, Jay, that the place we need to look at is not particularly whether or not you remember to touch her, but look at a fundamental thing in most people, and it really comes into play in relationship, that they don't like to be told what to do. So there's a certain quality where if somebody wants something from you, it's extra difficult to give it because somewhere in your mental structure, it feels like you're being dominated.
Or you're having to surrender or give up your point of view, or stop what you want to do to give them attention.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting. There's a trip Shai and I have planned for September. We're going to go to Oregon and do a little fishing. And at the time Shai suggested it, I wasn't particularly hot on the idea. And what was interesting for me to look at was that he had a passion for going, and I didn't have a strong no. A strong no is if it's absolutely not something I want to do. There's kind of a neutral place where it's not something I want to do, really. And what happens is I can go grudgingly, or I can match his energy and do something because it's important to him, and passion is a hard thing to come by. And so we have scheduled this trip, and I scheduled it as if it were my idea in the first place with the intention to love it. And it's really an excellent practice because there are certain things that I want to do that he just doesn't have a whole lot of desire for, but he will back me and support me, and then life becomes this incredible dance. but it's really important that he's not trying to prove that he's the man, the smarter, the more dominant, the
more independent, the right one. You know, I look at it this way. Ariel asks very little of me. She makes demands on me all the time, but they're, if I take them on like they're mine, they're not a demand. If she says, help me make the bed, it's not a problem. Unless I think that what I'm up to is more important, and then I resist because I don't like being told what to do, and I want to do it my way, and it costs me everything, you see, because then I grumble, I do it, I feel as though I've been imposed upon.
And
now, at least that's the potential. I don't. I personally, when a request is put on me by my wife, I say yes. Now, what's the question? You know, rather than look and see whether I want to, whether it's going to interrupt the flow of what I'm up to. You know, it's about taking care of her. You know, the interesting thing, people, Jay, need attention. Now, when you said touching, touching isn't all it is. See, if you're not there while you're doing the touching because you're thinking about something else, your touching actually takes more than it gives because the person is left in deficit. If you are there with that person when you're touching them, then there's a fulfillment and a sense of being filled up by your touch, where your energy actually makes a difference in their lives, and they lose their needy nature.
How long have you been with your girlfriend? You still there?
6 years, 6.5 years.
Yeah. So when you say that the touching doesn't come naturally, maybe not. Maybe that's not something that's in your background. But if it's not something you've developed as a skill in 6.5 years, then I would be willing to bet that it's more about being able to keep your independence than not having it come naturally.
I have a question, though.
Hmm.
Did you touch more when you first started dating? Was there more passion in your relationship when you first started dating?
I guess. I mean, I don't know if it came in the affectionate department. You know, I don't know. I don't really have a clear answer to that.
You know, Shai and I fly fish, and in order to get a line whistling through the air, hopefully not whistling, you want it to be quiet, but moving through the air, you have to use your hand and your wrist in a motion that doesn't come naturally to me. But the practice has made it worth it. And so my guess, Jay, is anything that's really been important to you that you feel has not been imposed by the outside has been something that you've become accomplished in.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like what you say about making it my idea. I think I've been a little, even though I thought I've kind of put this behind me, I think there's some part of it that I still hang on to, and that is that this is the way I grew up, and my father wasn't very affectionate, and I think I've been holding on to that, although, you know, it isn't really a...
Jay, your memory of how affectionate your father was is corrupted. Because I am certain you've told yourself the story over time about how unaffectionate your father is. And each time you tell yourself that story, you embellish upon it to yourself, whether you realize it or not.
I missed the last part of what you said.
I say that... You see, you have a memory.
And the memory is built from, say, let's say age 12. We're going to be generous.
Age 12. Age
6. Age 5.
I like 6 better. I like 6 better. And, you know, The funny thing about us human beings is we don't remember our temper tantrums when we're having them. But we make decisions out of those temper tantrums that go forward in time. And I'd be willing to bet you something, Jay. I'd bet you my boat. That, and I like my boat, so I don't want to lose it. So I only bet on sure things. That the times your father was affectionate, you pushed him away, whether you remember that or not. Because I've watched children and parents. And there's this phenomena where children push their parents away at a certain point, and then they, in retrospect, in memory, think their parent wasn't very affectionate, wasn't there for them very much.
I didn't really mean to imply that he wasn't affectionate with me. I just meant in general he wasn't a very demonstrative or tactile kind of person.
But how old are you now?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Older than 40?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, then it's like that may be what you learned, but touching is like learning a new language then. You could have fun with it. A lot of people go to school to learn Spanish, or we were talking to a gal on Monday night who's learned Korean. It's a difficult language. You could learn the language of touch if it's something that you're interested in, or you can use your familial upbringing to...
As an excuse not to. But you see, the thing is this. If you're doing it to fulfill a request of your girlfriend, it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be that you see that there's some benefit for you in being more demonstrative in your communications, both physical and emotional. If that you see that yes, it's frightening. You know, it's frightening to go into new territory. I understand that. And, Jay, at the same time, it's very rewarding when you discover that you can do it. I remember once when I took a course about 25 years ago, more, about 30 years ago, in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, where there was a rope course, and I had to go down a zip line. And I was standing on a platform maybe 200 feet in the air, and there was a cable that went about, oh, I would say 600 or 700 feet down the valley. And I had to hold on to a bar. Now, of course, I was strapped in so I couldn't fall, but the idea in my mind was that my arms wouldn't be strong enough to hold me. Yet when I jumped off, I was elated to discover that it was very easy for my arms to hold me. It was not a problem. And in all those things that we don't consider ourselves very good at, we hold back and we don't give ourselves permission to go for it with passion.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the game plan.
Especially since you said when you have been more demonstrative, it's been wonderful for both of you.
Yeah.
But there's a stepping over and bypassing that natural reticence in yourself.
Right. There's an inertia that we have to go into those places we're afraid of.
Thanks for calling us today, Jay.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I got it. I think I got it. And thank you for the inspiration. I feel very inspired.
Well, great. Thank you.
We'll be back after the break.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive
receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Discovering Our True Nature with host Brandon Cohen takes you on a journey into consciousness with guided meditations and a discussion which supports connection with your true self. Join Brandon every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover your true nature.
Never before in the history of live radio has such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host El Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by walking between the worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
We're the Canes. Hey, we're talking about intimacy today, and it occurs to me that there's more than one kind of intimacy. There's the intimacy that we were just talking about with Jay in regards to his girlfriend, just even the day today being, you know, physically affectionate or being there and demonstrative with each other. But there's also the type of intimacy that happens when you communicate well at work, and I'm talking about when you're able to actually be with yourself and the demands of the workplace and with the idiosyncrasies of your fellow coworkers. And I'm just talking about that now because we are doing a course in September called Transformation in the Workplace on the 15th and 16th of September in New York City. And if you want to know more about it, you can go up on our website, Transformation
Made Easy.
Yep, TransformationMadeEasy.com. And we also have podcasts of the week, so we invite you to sign up for our email list. Also, people just like yourself write in about transformations that are happening in their lives, and they talk about how it's happening for them. It gives other viewers a roadmap to have it happen for themselves. So we share those with you every month. So please feel free at TransformationMadeEasy.com.
And, you know, when we talk about transformation, we're not talking about change. Change is incremental. It takes place over time. It's predictable. It's linear. It's one thing at a time. Transformation, something shifts in your reality and your whole way of approaching life shifts with that. And it's not something you think to do. It's just this amazing event that takes place in your life by getting into this moment of now. Anyway,
speaking of this moment of now,
that's right.
We have Julie on the line from New York. You there, Julie?
I'm right here.
Hi.
Hi, Julie.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
It's really nice to hear you guys. I'm doing great. And I have to tell you guys that I've really loved your show since it began.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been great. Really helpful to listen to in the morning before work, and I'm glad that you just brought up work because I was thinking about that right before I called.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So one thing that I just realized and I just saw is, okay, interestingly enough, I'm a teacher, so I'm a mentor teacher, which means that I mentor first-year teachers in public high schools in New York City.
Okay.
That sounds like an amazing job in and of itself, to be a high school teacher in New York City, no less the
mentor.
Mentors first-year yes. teachers who are going through what it takes to teach in that school system.
It is, and it is an awesome job because, you know, like, you're not in one school, so you go to different places every day, and it's like people make so many generalizations about, you know, the different areas and neighborhoods and kids, and it's so amazing to see, like, the same issues coming up again and again in really different populations. But one thing that I realized just a few minutes ago, actually, I was talking with my husband, and he's off right now, too, because he's a high school principal, and actually they have to work over the summer, but he's finally on his vacation, so it's the first time he's hearing your show, too. And
what's his name?
Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Richard. He's smiling now, so he's waving at you.
Okay, good. So what's your question, or what did you want? What did you notice?
Right. Well, what I noticed was I actually get really defensive sometimes when people even just ask me clarifying questions because, for example, I'll say something to someone, like it might be a teacher, you know, it might even be a boss or a colleague. I'll present an idea to them or, you know, say, oh, maybe we should try this. And so ask me a question about what I've said, and sometimes I'm just like, oh, okay, you know, I answer it. But other times I feel, well, my husband pointed out to me, I feel really defensive. And I asked him, why does that happen? And he said, you know, it's probably that you feel, like, instead of just taking it as a clarifying question, or, you know, the person really wants to know or know more about what you said, you take it either as in, like, sort of they're stupid, so they should have known in the first place what you said, or there's some deficiency.
Well,
you go for what you said in the first place, so that you're, like, defending it.
Well, maybe there's nothing wrong. We'll start with that. Maybe there's nothing wrong. Maybe, Julie, you're normal.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I believe you're a normal person, you see.
Right.
And, yes, teachers are normal, too. And I believe that you have been trained growing up in the environment you grew up in to have to prove your point of view. See, we all grew up amongst insecure people.
Yeah.
I know I did. And I know every person I meet pretends to be secure, but this is a very insecure world. So security is not something that's easy to come by, to actually feel truly secure in your own self. So people go to school to get credentials so they can feel more secure.
Yeah, and especially teachers.
Right. And, well, with a lot of teachers, Julie, they think they're taking the teaching profession as a second choice for their what they would really do, but it's easier somehow. And it's not really that case. These people are, for the most part, quite dedicated. But, you know, there's the whole private sector conversation about how they could be making more money doing something else.
Right.
That aside, people are basically insecure, and whenever they're questioned, they don't really listen to the question. They start defending themselves as though they've done something wrong. And I believe you're normal in that respect. You know, sometimes you just have to take a breath, a nice deep breath, and listen to what the person is saying to you.
Are you familiar with emails, Julie?
Yes, I am.
You know, one of the biggest emails that crashed people's computers some time ago was called the I love you email. It said I love you in the subject line.
People, email virus, you mean?
Yeah, the email virus. And people opened up the email, and inside was an attachment. So there's the possibility that at least for some of these teachers, when they come back and they ask you a question, what did you mean by that, or could you tell me how that works, that they're asking you simply, can you tell me how that works, but there also can be an energetic attachment that comes along with it that is challenging in nature. And if you can discover how to bypass the energetic impact and simply respond to the request. It's a skill set you can build.
The other thing that you don't consider, Julie, is that in your role as mentor teacher, you are also in a role of mother.
Yeah.
And people that are incomplete with their parents will treat you as they treat their parents, will interact with you with the same kind of unkind, attacking ways of relating.
So, for instance, you come up on, if you were speaking to me and you were making a suggestion to me about how I should run my classroom and I had issues or incompletions with my mother, that would be like a filter between you and me, and the conversation would go through that filter, and I would naturally assume you were challenging my authority or that you were calling me stupid or whatever I would assign to my mother, I'm going to assign to you.
And, you know, if Richard's still listening, this definitely applies to Richard in that his teachers hold him as though he were their father.
Right.
And so any incompletions they have, any father issues that they have, will show up not out of anything he has done, but merely because he is a man, they will interact with him as though they are speaking to their father. Now, it may not be as obvious as that, but I'm sure there are examples in both your experiences of people who interact with you in a way that's so disproportional to the situation, so out of character with what's being asked of them.
We have a friend who's a teacher. Her name is Isabel, and one of the things that we've coached her on throughout the years of her teaching career in her ability to have an intimate relationship, and of course talking in the appropriate terms, with her coworkers and even the children, is that she treats it as if she's like a peacock, and a peacock can eat what would be, yes, poisonous to most people and turn it into this beautiful plumage. And so in a certain respect, if you can receive the emotional impact that comes along with the communication, and if we're talking the three principles of transformation again, anything you allow to be exactly as it is without judging it, if you can stand right in the line of fire and experience it and not judge it and not judge your reaction and be there with that person, it completes that way of relating between the two of you in an instant.
Right. Okay. So maybe an example would be, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. An example would be like if somebody asks you something like, you know, you say, okay, we're going to try this thing, and they're like, what's the purpose? And that's the kind of question that could really kind of get my, you know, like, make me bristle, sort of. Like, what do you mean, what's the purpose? Like, that's obvious. But actually just say, oh, they just asked me what the purpose was, so now I can explain to them what the purpose is.
Right.
And then we can all be much clearer on what we're doing right now.
You don't have to personalize anything, Julie.
Right.
Look, we're going to a break right now, but if you spend
okay.
my time, we can continue talking.
Will you come back after the break?
Julie?
Yes, I certainly can.
Great.
Excellent.
We'll be back shortly.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Step up to a new level of awareness. Step up to a higher level of compassion. Step up to the true, authentic person that lies within. Step up to an eternal connection with spirit on Step Up with minister, writer, teacher, healer, lecturer, counselor, channeler, medium, and host, Janice Lynch. Explore new perspectives. Engage in self-exploration. Experience greater joy, passion, and freedom. Step Up demystifies the mystical world of spirituality, reawakens the intuition, and offers essentials for spirituality. Step Up with Janice Lynch, broadcast each Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the 7th Wave Network. Step Up, where limitless possibilities are possible.
Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Be extraordinary. 7th Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back. Julie, you still there? Julie?
Yes, hello, I'm right here.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, we were talking about you, so take a nice deep breath.
We're having fun over the break and taking a look at some of the components to, at least potentially, to your students, or not your students, the mentor teachers having a reaction to you.
So, and you know what? And students.
And students.
Certainly,
good.
Yes.
Perfect.
Sure.
Perfect. So what we realized was that what you take for granted, what the way you see things is not normal for most of your teachers or students. That's one thing. The other thing is that you may unawarely have a frustration attachment added to your communication that when it's delivered makes the person get defensive.
Okay.
That they should know it already before they know it. And part of it is by underestimating your skill sets.
And your abilities and your intelligence. You know, we were talking about how Ariel and I spend quite a bit of time on the ocean fishing, you know. And I look at water, and I see things in the water. I mean, I look at the ocean, and I can see where there are fish under the water, not by radar or anything, but by surface conditions that shift and change. But to a person who hasn't spent a lot of time doing that and don't have the skill set of seeing those differences or making those distinctions in the way the water is flowing.
It's just water.
It's water.
What are you
right.
talking about? So you need to also realize that the reason you have the job that you have is that you have excelled at a certain set of skill sets. And if you underestimate that, you are going to be unwittingly demanding that from people who don't have those skill sets perfected yet.
You mean I'll be demanding that they already are able to understand everything I'm saying and able to, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
You'll
okay.
think that they should. Now, here's another piece of the action. You were raised as a female child in a world that is male-oriented.
Yeah.
And that, or has been male dominated, and that in itself has made it necessary, at least from your point of view, to excel and prove your equality or superiority.
Right.
What's the worst thing you could be, Julie?
The worst thing. Absolute worst thing that you could be called or considered or thought of as.
Incompetent.
And
great.
What's another word for incompetent?
It's stupid.
That's the word we were looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if somebody doubts what you say, it falls back into protecting yourself from being...
stupid.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and it's challenging to be intimate with another person when you're guarding whether or not you're stupid. Because in order to learn, you have to be willing to admit that you don't know.
That's so
in
so
a certain...
true.
In a certain respect, when you're going in there and you're teaching, you're learning from the teachers. You're learning from the students.
You know, Ariel and I lead workshops, and we go into those workshops not knowing how it's going to happen. We don't know what we're going to say. We don't go in with a prepared idea of what we want to accomplish. We enter into the moment not knowing. And then we discover what's there, and we interact with it from what's happening in the moment, not out of some pre-scripted idea we have of what we want to impart, which
yeah.
allows us to be appropriate to each moment and each person.
I
believe you operate similarly with your teachers. And
yeah, and more so since I met you guys, since I started listening to your show and listening to you.
Great. Well, I believe that it'll be a lot easier for you, Julie, because you're moving very quickly now into seeing what's actually there rather than seeing through your thought processes. And
right.
most of us are so addicted to looking for ideas of what's so rather than looking at what actually is right in front of us.
Right.
There's one other thing. Whilst we were talking, we talked about my father about, must be going on 15 years ago now for us. He was in his 80s, and we were in Hawaii, and we were looking out at the ocean seeing these whales jumping, and he couldn't see them. And then we took him out on a whale-watching boat, and we saw whales up close, and then when we got back to the shore and looked out and the whales were jumping, he could see them because we had created a context for him to see what he didn't see before in.
Right.
So, in a certain respect, one of your jobs is to create a new context to see with your teachers. I mean, you've heard that abused people abuse. I'm sure you've heard that.
Sure.
Well, teachers, I'm certain, have over the life of being a student themselves, have been taught that their questions are stupid. So when they come back to you with a question that you automatically think is stupid or has a challenge in it, if you can include that and not personalize it, transformation is inclusive, it's not exclusive. So if you can include their challenge and you can come back to them with compassion, you are a living, breathing demonstration of what's possible for them as a teacher when their students come back to them with attitude, because you know in the high school you're going to have a whole group of attitudinal people.
Yes.
Well, look, Julie, we want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
I really know that this has been good because most people think of intimacy as just intimacy between a partner, but intimacy is in all parts of your life.
I noticed that because I've been noticing, you know, certain things that I do with my husband, like certain things that I will ignore with him, like I'll ignore with my boss too, you know? So whatever I do at home, is also something that I do at work.
Yes, you bring UT into your life in all situations.
Right.
It isn't the situation that determines your life. It's you.
You, yeah.
Thanks, Julie.
Yes, thank you very much.
You know, Julie just brought up a very good point. If you want to start being more intimate, start right here, right now, not when you get into that situation of intimacy, quote, but right here. This moment is all it takes to have your life transform. And if you look in this moment, you're going to discover a blueprint for how you are. You know, if you're enjoying this show and you're in the New York area and you want to come see us in person,
please do.
We have a Monday Night Alive. And it's an incredible course. Whenever we're in town, it's Monday evenings, and the people who attend are really inspiring, and people are learning the skill set and strengthening their ability to be here.
To live in the moment.
Regardless of the circumstances. It's been our pleasure being here with you today.
If you want more information about how to contact us,
visit us at transformationmadeeasy.com, and we look forward to seeing you all next week.
On being here.
So don't miss
being
here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.